and ends when the draft bill is completed and ready for presentation to the legislative house. So basically, when we say drafting process, it starts from where when the sponsor gives the drafters instruction, and then it ends when the draft bill is ready for presentation at the legislative house. That's basically drafting process. So now, there are the man asked us to read classifications of drafting process, and there are basically five classifications. Now, this question is not asking us for classification of drafting process, but is asking us for four distinct segments in the Nigerian legislation drafting process. So now, you can just, by way of next introduction or general discussion of drafting process, mention the classifications of the drafting process, which are: number one, understanding the sponsor's drafting instructions; number two, analyzing the drafting instructions received; number three, designing the outline, that is the layout; then number four, composition of the draft; then lastly, quality control and editing. So in case tomorrow the man asks us to like explain the classifications, you can just use general idea to like expatiate on the classifications of drafting process. Of course, understand the sponsor's drafting instruction. Now, you have to like calm down, read the drafting instruction, and make sure you understand before you start drafting process and everything. So generally, now going to the question, generally in Nigeria there are four distinct segments that are arranged in logical order, and these are the four segments. Number one, preliminary matters. So basically, when we are talking about legislation in Nigeria, there are four segments that must be present in the legislation, and they must be arranged in a logical order. So the first segment is preliminary matters. So now, preliminary matters include something like long title, preamble, short title, acting clause, application and everything. So in a statute, before you can say this particular statute or this particular legislation is arranged in a logical order, it has to have, number one, preliminary matters. And what we have in preliminary matters includes short titles, preamble, interpretation, etc. So the second segment is principal matters. So principal matters basically include the substantive and the administrative provision. For instance, in a legislation that is establishing a particular body, so it includes something like the membership of that commission, functions, the board, final, use or seal, etc. So the second segment, sorry, are we getting it? So the second segment is principal matters, and it includes the substantive and administrative matters, like if it's establishing a particular body, it includes the membership of that body, functions, the use of seal, etc. Now, the third segment is miscellaneous matters. This includes offenses, penalties, power to make rules and regulations, etc. Then the last one is final matters. Final matters includes transitional provisions, repeal, schedules, etc. So now, for a legislation in Nigeria, there has to be four distinct segments. Number one, preliminary matters; principal matters; miscellaneous matters; and final matters. So an example of a legislation that has all these four segments is the property law and is the property and conveyancy law of 1958. So we need to note that there are times that all these segments might not even, like, there are times that you might have to alter this segment, that they might not follow each other. But then you still have to make sure that the legislation is constructed in the way that it will be logical and be easier for people to read. So an example of a legislation that does not follow this segment stricto sensu but it's still logical is the Constitution and CAMA. So an example of a legislation that follows this segment is the property and conveyance law of 1958. The ones that does not really follow the segment but it's still logical is the Constitution and CAMA. And then you just find a way to conclude for question 1B. Okay. That's that for question 1B. Therefore, question 1B. So the question is about procedures. There's a case, the man actually brought out the question from a particular case. The case is Alhaji Iskilu Oladoyinbo versus Lord Edward Byron.
Alhaji
Iskilu.
Spell Iskilu.
ISI. ISI. K-I-L-U. Against Lord Edward Oladoyinbo. Iskilu Oladoyinbo. Isikilu Oladoyinbo. Oladoyinbo. Yeah.
Against
Lord Edward Byron. B-Y-R-O-N.
B-Y-R-O-N.
Yeah.
Lord Edward.
Yeah. So basically, this part of the question. Okay, let me just read the question. Ibrahim, an applicant, not too sure of the procedure of the Lagos State High Court, bracket, Civil Procedure Rules 2004, filed an application to release a claim that was dismissed at the pretrial conference. The claim was dismissed at the pretrial conference, stage, using the provisions that apply to the segment on trial, advised Ibrahim on the appropriateness of the procedure adopted by him. So now, in this case, Ibrahim is trying to like refile or release a claim that was dismissed at the pretrial conference stage using a procedure that is meant for the trial stage. So now, in the case of Iskilu Oladoyinbo versus Edward Byron, the court held that, unfortunately for the applicant, the 2004 rules is demarcated generally into three segments of number one, front loading, pretrial conference, and trial. And we are presently at the pretrial conference segment, covered by Order 25 aforesaid. It is a gross misconception for the applicant, therefore. To invoke Order 30 of the 2004 rules, which concern the third segment of the trial and certainly does not concern the pretrial conference segment. So basically, what the court is saying is that now the legislation, the 2004 rules, is demarcated into three segments: the front loading, the pretrial conference, and the trial stage. So now, the claim was dismissed at the pretrial conference stage. So now, he's now bringing an application under the trial since the rules has been demarcated into three. You should use the provision of or the rules applying to the pretrial conference stage and not the one applying to the trial stage. That's basically the purpose of the case. So in this case, Ibrahim will be advised, of course, to release the claim using the provisions that apply to the pretrial conference stage and not the one applying to the trial stage. Then we try to find a way to conclude. That's that for question one generally. Yeah.
So in that case, you say according to what happened in that case.
Yeah, because it's the same thing. It's a direct this part of the question was taken from that case.
But what happened when John is not understanding?
Yeah.
When the reader is not understanding.
Yeah, the question itself was taken from that case. So you just go straight to the fact that this question or this case
got as well.
Kineko.
And of a view being easy to understand and all that.
It's exactly brothers on procedure. This question, yeah, just procedure. And so you can just say like this case is similar to what was held in the case of Alhaji Iskilu Kineko versus Lord Byron. In that case, the court held that the applicant she can make blah 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 blah. So that's that for question one.
The issue before the lower court required an interpretation of the provision of section 33 of the Constitution of Western Region.
The issue before the lower court requires the interpretation of the provision of section 33 sub 10 of the Constitution of the Western Region of Nigeria. Counsel to the applicants urged the court to apply the literal rule of interpretation since the wordings of the provision Since the wordings of the provision in question was clear, counsel for the respondent disagreed but rather called on the court to apply an unwritten convention in the United Kingdom into section 33 sub 10, which the court eventually acceded to in its judgment, which was a split one. Not satisfied with the judgment, the appellant has now appealed, seeking that the dissenting judgment, wherein mutual will was adopted, ought to be the judgment of the court. As a justice of the court of appeal, write your judgment. So, I think in answering, basically, oh yeah.
And
it borders on rules of interpretation. Yeah.
Rules of interpretation.
Yeah.
What's the rules of interpretation?
How do you write judgment?
The way you write is not basically saying write judgment. Just answer the question. What is your opinion? Exactly. It's not like write judgment. No.
And I know literal is always like the first point of contact
Basically, like Deborah said, you start with this question. This question borders on. I will throw you the slippers now. This question borders on rules of interpretation, particularly maybe the literal rule of interpretation. Then you put your issues whether or not the trial court was right to have held that or to have applied the rule of that UK court, whatever. Do you get the gist? I think that's basically the sole issue.
So we now start that. Literal, what does it mean?
Then so you would mention, you tell us what literal rule means, you use all your cases, why literal rule should be used, you get all those explanations under literal rule. That is the first use of interpretation that should be applied before applying any other rule.
Can someone also point out that maybe the UK rule is supposed to be just persuading?
Yes, and then,
that as well. Section 33 sub 10 of the Constitution of the Western Region. What was the provision?
What happened was that the provision was that the premier can remove the
That's what I want to know. So now, if you say that, now the question is, if it appears to, is it very clear that you use the trial rule?
It's discretion of the provision. I think what the court held was that it showed discretion.
So that the premier had should give it the claim.
It's basically a case. It's basically that particular case. What the court held in that case, that will be our answer.
End of time. The thing is, for the trial, when you explain what the trial is, it's as well to apply. And then if at all you feel the normal, you can also leave the exception. You can feel that there's
injustice and ambiguity.
Exactly. So if you think, I don't know, that's not going to be difficult, but if you think that such a piece of thing, I don't know, would amount to injustice, can we always say, like, I mean, this is that if such a piece of thing would amount to injustice, the court is at liberty to petition the literal rule of interpretation and apply the code of interpretation, but it's only and until if such a circumstance would occur.
So basically, you mentioned, basically, you explain what literal rule is and include the exception. So he is adding that we could just put the exceptions to literal rule. So that will be that would be part of it. Yes, that is exactly.
And the next question is very short notes from that. Man said three questions.
So in case it's a whole lot of
answers. Oh, I did both of us.
Sources of materials for drafting bills. Qualities of a legislative drafter, differentiate between the trial holding and mischief. I think the man asked three questions last year, surprisingly. Alright, so question four. The minister. Now this is a quotation. The minister may, by notice in the gazette, exempt charities and societies performing educational functions from the requirement of section 3 of this act. Let me read it again. The minister, So the minister may, by notice in the Gazette, exempt charities and societies from educational functions from the requirements of Section 3 of this Act. A. What is the likely effect of the approved draft with respect to the groups given the exception? The exemption rather. B. We draft the sentence in such a way as to make the requirement of performing educational functions apply only to societies. C. When can the sentence be blah 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 blah? Please, we can move this. No problem.
They didn't teach us.
We were taught use of archaic
words. But let us attempt this question.
They taught us useful words in useful words in construction.
Not archaic. If it should come out.
Chief Mrs. Chikon, a staff of the Federal Agro Corporation, approached McPherson Insurance Company to finance the purchase of a 5-bedroom bungalow situated at Oloni Street, Aladdin, Ilorin, which he intends to buy. McPherson Insurance Company requested for a letter of appointment, his and down payment of 10% of the purchase price. After complying with all the requirements, Chief Mrs. Chikondi was also asked to deposit the title document on the property after same has been added over to her. However, Chief Mrs. Chikondi was apprehensive because the last request appears to her as an attempt to take offer over the property from her by McPherson Insurance Company. As a solicitor, advised to Mrs. Chikodi on the following with a view to elucidate legal issues deductible therein. 1. What options is available to Chief Mrs. Chikodi on the request of McPherson Insurance Company?
First of all, let's ask what question is it more game?
Let's first understand the features of a mortgage transaction. Now, in a mortgage transaction, the mortgagor transfers his interest or interest to the mortgagee. He transfers the interest with the provision that it is. With a provisor provision that is that he will redeem it on payment of the security. So, during the pendency or during the time where the interest and the properties with the mortgage, he has no power of sale.
Yeah,
he cannot offer the power of sale until
you redeem everything.
And to do this, you're going to pay. Okay, that's one. What does that mean? No power of sale, right? Who gets the property documents, the mortgage, pay that period at me?
Yeah, of course, you deposit.
So, that she was actually deposit the title document of her property. Is it in order?
Remember the fact that she has already deposited the list of income.
What she really dropped down was?
What she dropped?
Was
a letter of appointment.
A pay slip and a down payment of 70 cents of the purchase price.
That is not it. Like, to me, the document they're asking for is still
part of it.
Because that's the actual money. The payment, the letter of appointment is just to show that it's actually gainfully employed and then they have to confirm where the source of payment is coming from. That's what they do basically.
But the question is, what option is available to
now, the chief? Now, that's the problem. I don't know. It's mortgage.
She should accept it or not.
I don't know. We have options.
Option available to the chief.
They will not set us kind of business question.
That's the thing. Okay, we've established that it's a mortgage.
Okay, I think an option that
she's getting money from the insurance company to purchase
the property.
And now she's using that property as security for the mortgage, right?
Yes.
The same property.
Yes. Yes. It's actually possible.
It's two different ways. It's not like you want to borrow money.
So you're borrowing money to get him over there. You should have
the same property.
To borrow where now?
All right.
So all they requested for was just the title to the property.
And she's apprehensive, thinking that that would.
So probably one of the options I'm able to have is to pay off. Then now pay off the money she borrowed.
On the request of MacPherson Insurance Company, are you going to put that in?
I think that's the best option. That means there must have been a written agreement.
A written agreement.
Since it relates to property,
the document
should be under the right.
Number two question. What would be your position if the property was destroyed by fire after MacPherson Insurance Company had paid in the name of
Jesus? No, it's not
by fire.
Would your position be to have to enter and die in the kind of piece of property?
Let's ask another
question. I have seen that. From their notes, there was nothing. I think the man said
this question was
asked. See, I've checked their notes. There's nothing different.
This question is too direct. No, it's too direct for you, but honestly.
There's nothing in their notes on what they are different from what the man told us. Their notes is it.
Then why would they set that kind of question for them?
So now.
It is important that you advise your client on what is known as mortgage protection policy. So that if anything happens to a mortgage job, the insurance company that should over or continue with the liability.
We are discussing.
In case there's no debt and there's actually a destruction of the property, could you say the same thing?
Let's not even forget the fact that the lender in this case is
the insurance company.
Unlike this mortgage protection policy, the example the man gives, let's say for instance, the mortgage is between the mortgagor and the bank, and then there's a separate insurance company. But then in this case, the lender is still the insurance company. Our mortgage protection policy is saying, in case of any unforeseen circumstances, in case of death, the insurance company will be able to pay up the mortgage itself. So now, how do you,
just
answer 1, 2, 3, or get out.
I think what we want to test here is whether the fact that she has not deposited the title of the document
that
does it mean at that point the mortgage is not yet. So me, I feel like it's now with your answer will now tilt towards the mortgage. That okay, fine, even though the claim has not been complied with, you have allowed those cases.
You are not smart.
So that's what
it's called. It's true. Like that's actually. Yes.
For sure.
That's
the lower issue.
That's
the lower issue.
Yeah.
Position in 2 above the main is same. If chief misses chief or the other, it
means explain that area.
After the purchase of the property.
No, okay, so that's the explanation is just the answer.
So now we are saying that one, that 5 owner to one part is
See, in that scenario, there was nothing like maybe there was an insurance policy or there was a mortgage protection. The only thing is just the fact that the insurance company is the one lending the money. So now, what I think the question that from my figure two, would your position, what would be your position if the property was destroyed by fire after McPherson Insurance had already paid in the name of, you know, that the question is saying that she has not yet deposited that. So what I think the question is asking is whether she has not deposited the, that means the mortgage has not been completed formally. Yes. Then is the mortgage already, can we say they can the insurance now get, so if you now establish the equitable mortgage thing, you can now talk about that is why it is good for everybody to have a mortgage protection, blah blah blah, and then it will now be, so I don't know, but that's why I think the question is asking, not necessarily the mortgage protection, the insurance part of it.
My answer was still be under equitable mortgage.
And then the estate, they can still enforce whatever rights they have.
I'll have the case of standard manufacturing
you
company.
Get, I think our question here seems towards equitable mortgage.
I laugh in my mind.
I'm not convinced.
Okay, you, Maya, I'll say your own.
I don't think the man is saying this kind of question because for legal, for that, well, I'll agree, for that one, for one, for one, okay, creation of what we are trying to say is that all the formalities have not yet been completed before fire goes the property.
So what are the options available to Mrs. Scotty if it's an equitable mortgage?
Oh, it's
so that was the question one. Let's see that. But you said what options are available to Mrs. Scotty on the request of McPherson Insurance Company?
See, my one question is different from my two.
What's the one question answer?
Well,
I'm just like, you have to process.
Are we done?
If there's any question on mortgage, I don't understand.
Did you come at that?
Did you answer?
Mine is